Star News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Same thing. Go to an Aussie concert. He doesn't do crazy training, demanding a refund.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Light rail is a topic around here. The light rail expansion moving down central into South Phoenix. Does that mean that it's going to cross Baseline Road down there, central and Baseline? They cross,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Right? I just don't know if we have an agreement on what we call that road.
How do you say that, Morgan?
That street?
Yeah.
Baseline.
Baseline.
Baseline with a B.
Baseline with a B. That is it's a video that's going around of an ASU student, Cole and Morgan, where she believes that Baseline is Baseline, like Baseline with a B.
Well, you know what?
Baseline.
Morgan there,
I'm never going to be able to look at that road again and not go, hey, where is it?
Baseline.
Baseline
and Central.
Baseline, right there.
Baseline and Central.
So think of the corner of Baseline and Central. And what it would look like if and when the light rail chugs through the middle of it.
Okay, well, you know what? You talk about it chugging through the middle of it. It's been quite controversial down in South Phoenix. You've got a lot of the residents and business owners down there feeling a little left out of the planning process because what they were not told, apparently, Bruce, was that with the light rail coming down there, it would result in Central Avenue in certain parts from Watkins Street to Baseline Road.
Baseline.
That they would be losing some lanes.
Yeah.
So, in essence, backing up Central. And Central is not easy to get up and down. I mean, the Central of today is very different than the Central
kids,
of yesteryear.
Stevie Z, these kids today.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a time.
Go back in the Wayback Machine.
When we didn't have light rail going through downtown and up Central Ave, okay? It was a glorious time
in
the valley.
Right.
When you could make a left turn, for
right?
example. If you saw the Honey Bear Barbecue and you wanted to go to it,
you could
actually turn your car to it without having to go three blocks down, make some sort of like five right turns to get back to where you want to go. This is sad. I avoid Central because of A, the traffic, and B, the fact I can't go where I want because there's bleeping railroad tracks.
Okay, am I the only one as well? Like when I'm going to a D-backs game, and I don't know what road it is that I'm taking. Is that Jefferson?
One of the presidents Jefferson Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
Some president back when it was black and white.
But like, it's not like, what lane am I supposed to be in? It gets confusing sometimes.
It genuinely does.
Okay, am I showing my age there?
Like, is that a right turn lane? Am I sitting in the middle of?
Am I going to come head on with the light rail? I have no idea.
So they want to expand the light rail, but the people who are, dare I say, opposed to light rail expansion into South Phoenix, it's not necessarily because they're worried about turning left. They have some other issues with it. One of them is, I know the businesses do. Like you and I just admitted that being around areas where the light rail runs is confusing to the point that, I mean, if I had an opportunity, I skip Central. I don't drive down it because I find it to be a hassle.
Well, okay, earlier this year, there was a grassroots effort that kind of came together. They call themselves Four Lanes or No Train. And they're concerned about that portion of Central that's going to be narrowed in order, narrowed as far as the amount of lanes for cars to get through.
So
right?
Going from 3-2 or 2-1 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting rid of a lane.
So because they were concerned and because, you know, they've raised a bit of a stink, there were a lot of public meetings and there was a point in time that it was nearly killed from the Phoenix annual budget and it divided the city council. Here's the thing. Like that money, because people go, well, that money, it's going to cost, you know, a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. How much are we looking at here?
$1 billion.
Yeah,
or one 150th of what Jeff Bezos is worth.
Well, there's that. And a lot of people are going, well, that money could be used in other ways. But
yeah,
Valley Metro CEO is saying,
like,
yeah, exactly. That's not how this works.
There's nothing that would be available for things other than transportation. The entire $1 billion is funded by sources that are restricted to either rail transit or transportation in general.
So, you
like,
know,
the money is allocated for specific things. You either use it for light rail or you don't get it. You can't build a library with it.
Okay, but I get the residents and the businesses in this part of the valley feeling left out of the plan. Now, if they were part of the discussion and they knew that this is what it was going to entail, then that would be one thing. But they feel, and whether or not this is true, mm-hmm. you know, they feel as though they've been a bit duped. And it kind of reminded me, Bruce, of a story we had done. It was probably about a year ago, because at this point in time, you were going to California a lot. You were going out on the boat in California a lot. And there was a neighborhood not far from where you were going on the boat.
I want to say it's Playa del Rey. It's right there. It's near Marina del Rey, Santa Monica, Playa del Rey. And what they did is...
they went on a road diet.
Literally.
They call it a road
and
diet.
And it's still kind of going on. And you drive around there, there's construction. And normally when we see construction on the roads here, you see some cones and some guys working. Oh, they're... making more lanes.
More lanes. More traffic, more lanes.
Not in Playa del Rey. They are taking lanes away. They are digging up, for lack of better terms, driving lanes and making them for like bikes only.
Pedestrian only.
Expanding sidewalk, things like that. So you're going from, and I know exactly the street they're talking about. I want to say it was Lincoln there. It was two lanes on each side. So a four-lane road, two in both direction. Now it's going to be one in each direction. And by the way, this thing was packed. With two in each direction,
So it was packed with two in each direction. They went on this road diet, and the whole idea behind a road diet is you make it a bit uncomfortable for people to get in their cars and drive from point A to point B.
It's on purpose.
It's on purpose to make it uncomfortable for you so that you use the bike lane, you walk,
or you use
public transportation. Yeah. In this case, is it light rail? I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it in different areas of the country where they're trying this. They're trying to get people out of their cars in either public transportation or alternative transportation. And we know that here in the Valley, we are married to our cars.
And so this is a bigger debate. This is not just about light rail getting a few more miles into South Phoenix. This is a fundamental argument. And I'm okay with, and it has to be with, it's partly my love of the internal combustion engine. I'm not for more public dollars going to make it harder to drive around. I think you can acknowledge that we are a little late in the game in the city of Phoenix to suddenly go, you know what, we want less cars. We want to be more like New York. We want a crisscrossing subway network or above ground train network that makes it easy to get around. If you are, those of you who visit like New York City or even Washington, D.C. has kind of stepped up its game like that. You can get around to almost anywhere mass transit, light rail, and I'm not talking about buses. I mean, you can literally take like the train around paces, right?
Well, what you got against buses?
Don't get me started with buses.
You're hating on buses here.
Not getting on a bus. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'd walk. It's too late in the game. Phoenix is too spread out. There's absolutely no conceivable way we're going to be able to come up with a mass transit, light rail.
What do you call light rail, though?
Light rail goes from where nobody is to where nobody wants to go. I think light rail is a boondoggle to begin with.
Oh, really?
How often do you ride the light rail, Pamela?
The next time will be my first.
Why, Pamela?
Well, because I live in Gilbert.
It doesn't go anywhere where you want to go, nor from where you are.
If it did, I would.
But that's my point. It's too late in the game to put light rail all the way out to Queen Creek and up to Anthem. Like, it's too... If you wanted a city that you could get around with never using a
glass,
car...
didn't you?
You had to start with that from the beginning of the city.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you on that. I think that you can retrofit certain aspects of mass transit. I mean, it has to happen. I mean, with the way even Phoenix is growing, I think eventually we will have light rail out in Gilbert.
But I think the only difference... Okay, so this is my elitist, snobby... Oh, boy. We would get hate mail for this one.
Just address it directly to Ryan Hatch.
Send it directly to Ryan Hatch. I don't care.
Bruce.
The same people that ride light rail are the same people that rode the bus. So all you've done is make buses half as full and the light rail half as full. Nobody new showed up.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I go back to, you know, I went to ASU when there was only one campus in Tempe. And if light rail had existed then, that would have made my life so much easier. I didn't have a car out here for 2 years. I had to bike it. Try biking everywhere in August in Phoenix. Not fun. So I think that you do have a bit of a growing population, at least in that part of the city.
But taking away lanes and making it harder to drive.
Yeah, I understand.
In an effort
people
to force people to ride light rail.
Is it an effort? Is it an effort? I don't know if that's quite what they're doing. I don't know if they're going on a road diet.
It's the unintended
there.
Consequence of it.
There you go. That I can get behind.
Okay. Well, we'll find out as the $1 billion
down
light
there,
rail
near
expansion.
Central and Baseline.
Yes, near Baseline. Baseline. It's Baseline. Baseline. Oh my God.
Otherwise known as Baseline.
I will post that video. People are going, I have to see the girl calling it Baseline.
I love it.
It's fantastic. We all know, I think most of you by now have figured out, Pamela does not have any of these Echo, Siri,
no.
Amazon, no. Alexa type devices in her home.
No.
I think I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe the toaster oven is connected in some way, shape, or form. But soon, every device you buy out there might have a microphone, a listening device in it. I
always feel like some Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Vaseline.
Are you going to tweet that out? We got to tweet
I'm going to tweet.
Stevie Z, get on that. If you want to see the video of the ASU student.
Vaseline.
Referring to Baseline Road as what?
Vaseline.
check it out at Bruce and Pamela.
All right. I get it. I'm working on it. So let me get that.
Oh, yeah. Stevie Z will take care of it.
Okay. You have one of those devices that listens to you all the time. The okay. Alexa. Play KTAR. I love doing that.
Well,
I love doing that.
They don't love it when you do that.
No, somebody's Alexa just started playing KTAR. That'll teach you.
My mom always, with my mom, I'm constantly hearing, okay, Google. Everything is, okay, Google. Yeah, that's fun, Mom. But hey, you know what? Eventually, oh my goodness, Lord help us, if my mom has to start saying that to the refrigerator or to the oven or to the microwave, because the microphones needed for OK Google or Siri or Alexa.
What have you been drinking? Don't lie. If you've been drinking, we might have a problem.
No, just it's say, just a joke in the family that my mom is always like, okay, Google. Okay.
Fair enough.
So anyway, the microphone's necessary to go into like your cell phone or into the Apple Watch I have or into any one of these machines. They used to be expensive to make. And in the 80s, they started developing the technology to like really shrink down the microphones. And over the decades, it also shrank the price of it. And so now, like the cost to manufacture these small microphones can be like 60 cents to a buck 20. And then for like manufacturers to put them into a product, it might be like 10, 20 bucks.
Like
it's not
price,
a lot.
The price is getting to where it's almost worth them to put the listening device, the microphone, the ears, the digital ears in, even if they don't know the application yet, because it's probably coming.
Well,
right?
You say probably coming. Yeah. So Samsung has said that with their kitchen gadget.
Google. Sorry.
Okay, Google. That they're going to start putting these microphones in like all kinds of
everything.
I say gadgets, but
appliances.
Yeah. So Simple Human is a company that
I've seen it. That you see them. Why? When I go to Bed Bath and Beyond, again, always for the Beyond section, but I see Simple Human stuff there.
So consider a voice controlled trash can from Simple Human.
What? Wait a minute. Have that? How does that work? Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going on Amazon Go.
It's Amazon Prime. You might be able to, or just go, okay, Google.
What is a voice enabled trash can? Does it take itself out?
Open,
please,
you say?
Please take yourself out.
You say open can?
Really?
Like open sesame? Open can. And the can opens. And then closes on its own once you walk away. That's it.
That's a thing.
It's a $200 trash can. First off, if I'm spending two bills, it's not on a trash can. Let me just tell you that
Simple Human 58 liter, 15 gallon stainless steel, dual compartment, rectangular kitchen step.
Okay. Well, we've got a show to do here. So
we need a smart trash can.
I don't like the idea of my oven, my microwave, toaster oven, Keurig coffee maker, refrigerator. I don't want all of these little microphones listening all the time. There's like no privacy
left. What's
going
on in your home that you're trying to...
Okay, it's none of your business what's going on in my home is my take on it.
There it is.
You actually found it?
$199.
Okay, don't, no, don't.
Voice
no, no, no,
activated.
No, 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 no.
Oh, it's brushed stainless steel.
Don't
I
buy
want
that.
I want
no,
one.
No, you are serious.
I'm going there now.
Oh,
I want one. Oh, I can get in different colors.
You do not need.
What? I don't.
A voice-controlled trash can.
We are well past where the buses run on what I need, okay? I'm at want.
Oh.
Oh, do I want that?
I think there's going to be like two categories. All of this merchandise and appliances that have microphones and listening devices, and those that don't.
I can also wave my hand and it will open. It's got an infrared
field. Okay, that's been around forever. Like,
really?
Hi, 2005 called. They want their trash can back. Yes.
I am nowhere near the cutting edge of trash cans, and I need to step my game up.
Your trash can game?
I am losing the trash can wars. This is very disappointing. President Trump appeared to support Vladimir Putin's version of history over his own intelligence agencies. We have with us next a guest, a former member of the CIA, to help us understand a little bit more about that. It's coming up on KTAR News.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Hey, can I give a shout out to a friend of mine?
Yeah, what's up?
Are you baseball fans out there? Last night was the Home Run Derby. I have the pleasure, the opportunity. I work with Chicago Cubs, Kyle Schwarber, at a charity. You know the charity I'm speaking about.
Yeah, I know.
And he almost won the Home Run Derby. It's possible that Bryce Harper cheated to win, but Kyle did an amazing job, came in second, and kind of basically lost in overtime in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, overtime in the Home Run Derby?
It's not like you remember
okay.
it. It's a completely different
right.
thing. But shout out to Kyle. He did an outstanding job and almost brought home. Still, as I said, he can always take solace and sit around looking at his World Series ring if he has problems with losing that over Mr. Harper. So, obviously, there continues to be, I mean, okay, is fallout the proper word to use over President Trump's bizarre press conference with Vladimir Putin?
Wow.
A press conference where, again, the thing I took away from it, like my overarching thing, you know, I mentioned to you yesterday was questions directed at Vladimir Putin about him attempting to influence American elections were answered by President Trump, who made excuses for the Russian president so that all Putin had to do was basically nod and go, what he said.
Right, exactly. He gave him a lot of cover.
I found that to be disgusting.
Yeah,
it's the nicest thing I can say on the radio.
Well, disgusting is one word that several have used to describe that press conference yesterday. And you had a lot of Republicans come out against it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke briefly with reporters yesterday, you know, talking about supporting the intelligence community. He said, you know, I've said it a number of times, the Russians are not our friends.
No.
And I entirely believe the assessment of our intelligence community. You had Senator John McCain, who came out and said this was one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president. You had Republican and Senate Foreign Relations Chairman Bob Corker, who said that the president made us look like a pushover this morning. You had Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, who said this.
We just conducted a year-long investigation into Russia's interference in our elections. They did interfere in our elections. It's really clear. There should be no doubt about that.
Okay, so yesterday, you know, you and I started talking about this at the end of the show and wanted to bring it up a bit today. This has been a rough 24 hours, probably some of the roughest that this president, who has weathered a couple of storms in his time in office, this has been like the worst press that he's received to date.
It's kind of that, just like when you think it can't go any lower. Welcome to Monday.
Well, yeah, where's the floor? Yeah. And Fox News, who repeatedly gives this president a pass on a lot of what he does and what he says, we're also taking him to task. So is this the straw that broke the camel's back or not? Is there even a straw? and a lot of Republicans have made some sternly worded statements and sternly worded tweets.
Oh, but yeah.
Are they actually going to do anything about it? And if so, what can they? No. You say no right away. No,
absolutely not. No.
Why?
No. I think more interested in their own power, more interested in their own reelection than they are the United States, the Constitution, anything like that.
No, wow. Okay, a little pessimistic there. No. I'm skeptical, but not as pessimistic as you. Here's what I think we need to wait on.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding, right?
Well, and that pudding, I think, comes out in the way of poll numbers. Mm. All right? So there's going to be some polling done right now as into the presence of approval rating.
Obviously. Well, it's ongoing.
It always is going on. And in fact, the latest we got was that 90% of Republicans, 90% of Republicans give a high favorability rating to this president. Now, I also want to point out that there are fewer Republicans.
Right. They made a big deal about it. It's higher than Reagan. And, and there's half as many Republicans as there were when Reagan was around.
But if you start to see the Republican numbers drop, and I think that that's why you're kind of getting some of these lukewarm kind of hedged responses from some Republicans who are running for re-election. If polling numbers come out next week.
But what does that say?
I think this is politics.
What does it say that you'll only stand up for your ideals and your beliefs when the polling numbers support your reelection? Again, I'm going to make fun of people like that. I'm going to say you don't actually have ideals. You don't actually have morals. You don't actually have beliefs. You only have what serves your own best interest, which is my theory.
You might not like the game, but that's how the game's played. What's the theory?
My theory on why did President Trump do what he did?
Oh, you have a theory.
I believe he believes everything he said in front of Vladimir Putin and believes it to his core.
Okay, so he was being honest when he was up there.
100%.
Why do you believe that?
Because Vladimir Putin's never done anything bad to him.
Yet.
He doesn't play with yet. He plays with today. He's incapable of looking in the future. Vladimir Putin has never poisoned any of his children. Therefore, Vladimir Putin doesn't murder people. Vladimir Putin never did anything to him personally. Therefore, Vladimir Putin is a good guy. I'll give you the example. Say something mean about Donald Trump. Jeb Bush is evil. Nancy Pelosi is horrible. Hillary Clinton is evil incarnate because they did something mean to Trump
Senator
personally.
Senator McCain
mm-hmm. is bad. Vladimir Putin, being a KGB officer and being smarter than Donald Trump, knows how to flatter him, knows how to tell him what he wants to hear. Therefore, he's good. Germany, Angela Merkel, bad because she challenges him. Kim Jong-un, good because he flatters him. It is that dirt simple for Donald Trump. If you say nice things or do nice things to him, you're good. If you're mean to him or say bad things about him, you're bad. He is that. It's narcissistic. It only cares about how it reflects upon him. It has nothing to do with the United States.
Okay, I'm intrigued by this theory, and I'm going to be even more intrigued when I want you to bring it up. I want you to bring it up here in about another 20-25 minutes, folks, because that's when we are expecting to have the former head of the Russian operations at the CIA in Moscow. His name is Steve Hall. He's supposed to be joining us at 11 o'clock. I want you to run that theory by him, Bruce.
I want to
see what he has to say, because I think that that's interesting. You're making the assumption, I don't want to say the assumption, you're making the theory that because Putin hasn't done anything bad
personally
to Trump,
didn't
that Trump
screw him
thinks
on a prison deal, didn't
okay,
kill
hold
one
tight,
of his
hold
friends.
Tight. I think,
didn't
though,
invade Manhattan.
that what I witnessed yesterday, and I try to give the president credit where credit is due, but I think what was yesterday, I mean, you use the word disgusting, and I would echo that as well. I think that this president is afraid of Putin. I think that Putin, at this point in time, I don't know what happened in Moscow with the dossier, and is it true, is it not true? I don't know if it has anything to do with business dealings or, they were collaborating or some sort of collusion in the camp. I don't know what it is. I wasn't there. That's what we've got the investigators digging into at this point in time. But what I witnessed yesterday was a man who was afraid of the person standing next to him, that he gave him cover, that he answered the questions for him.
Well, I'm no
that it was
I'm no dentist
in behavior.
I'm no dentist, but the body language in that was a confident Vladimir Putin and a nervous, defensive Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say Vladimir Putin was a body language. Go, Vladimir Putin looked like a guy waiting for a bus. He was just hanging out. He was not worried in the slightest.
Yeah, not even knowing, because nobody really knows the facts of it right yet. But
Representative Gosar,
if you just kind of look at this, it was very suspect.
Mm-hmm. So, animals, the animal kingdom. No, we're not going to do Mutual of Omaha's relic. The animal kingdom, they all have specific diets, right?
Yeah.
Like lions eat gazelles, pandas eat bamboo. Why are humans the only one that don't have a specific diet? And why are half of us always on some
exactly.
kind of a diet? We'll talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, a quick reminder coming up just after 11 o'clock. Let's call it 15 minutes from now. We're going to be speaking with a former CIA chief of Russian operations. There's a guy that has an interesting perspective on the news of the last 24, 48 hours. So I want to just give you guys a heads up that that'd be worth watching. So there's new information out there, and it appears to be relatively true, especially if you look around your circle of friends. 50%, I'm led to believe that's nearly half of all
nice
adults,
jawline,
thank
fine.
You, all
yeah.
adults have been on some sort of a diet in the last year to the point that, and I think it's fair to say, dieting, some sort of diet, is almost the norm for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they go from one diet to the next, or they're on and off diet. It's just what you do.
Or whatever is hot right now, like the ketogenic diet.
Ooh, what is that?
Is
how
pretty
do you pronounce
hot. Ketogenic. There you go. Okay, keto.
Vaseline.
And, you know, you've heard of Atkins. You've heard of paleo. You've heard of, oh, goodness, South Beach.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Weight Watchers. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, you can throw the kitchen sink in there. There's so many different diets. And, yeah, half of Americans are on a diet at some point in time in the last year. Between 2013-2016, 50% of Americans 20 and up told those surveying them that they made some sort of effort to shed pounds in the previous 12 months by going on a diet. Now, here's the thing. This isn't my wheelhouse. This is stuff that, like, I'm pretty passionate about.
Explain to me
about.
The thing.
The thing that gets me is this whole idea of going on a diet.
I'll agree with you on this, but keep
we
going.
We are the only species out there.
Got it.
That go on diets instead of having one. So you kind of alluded
Javelina,
to this.
Javelina, don't go on diets.
Right, exactly. A lion. If I were to ask you, what is the diet of a lion?
Slow gazelles.
Yes, they get eaten.
Oh,
right?
They are delicious.
We know what lions eat.
Yes.
Panda bears.
Bamboo. They like to chew on bamboo, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So we know what their diet is.
Got it.
But humans are the only ones that actually go on a diet and don't feel as though they have a diet. Like, what is the human diet?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people will go to a paleo diet, okay? And you can make some arguments for that, and you can make some arguments against it. But for me, and all the research that I've done on it, it really comes down to, like, the basics of, you know, keeping it really basic, meat, fruits, vegetables, and some grains.
Well, I know something of which you speak as well. I've had a lot more weight to lose than you, you skinny little you know what. but there is something where I tell people, don't call it a diet.
It's a way of life.
Because a diet, to me, a diet means you're going to do something different.
Well, you
later.
Go on and off of it.
Right. Now, if you want to lose weight, you want to be smart about it, one of the ways to do it is fundamentally change the way you approach food, portion sizes, things you eat. Absolutely. Absolutely. But don't do it for 3 weeks and then think, I can stop doing it. And I once you resume the way you were doing it before, well, you'll get right back to where you were before.
Right.
If you are serious about not just weight loss, you can use health as
yes.
example, right?
And that's
just
why
being,
I do it, yes.
Being healthier, it is about doing something different on a permanent basis, not on a calendar temporary basis.
Exactly. And the other aspect of
are you saying
Bruce,
pandas don't go on diets? Maybe that's why they're chubby. Most pandas are chubby. Can we acknowledge? I think pandas could stand to lose a few pounds. This is why I don't eat bamboo. I'm just throwing it out there.
Deep thoughts by...
It must be like Nutella to pandas.
Okay, here's the funny thing. I actually had bamboo shoots yesterday for
what
dinner.
What do you mean you had bamboo shoots? This sounds like something you put under fingernails if you're torturing people.
No, I
you
made...
You can eat them?
Yes, they're in a lot of Chinese food, dude.
Okay.
They come in little cans, like a tuna can?
Never.
No.
Bamboo comes in a tuna can.
What a time to be alive, people. What a time to be alive.
I was using it as a description. You know, the little flat cans. The same one that the water chestnuts come in.
I'm going back onto Amazon while you speak. I'm going onto Amazon, and I need to look up bamboo.
Oh, man. Okay, so a lot of going on a diet, all right? So if you're an adult in America, there's about
a bamboo sheets, a bamboo pillow, bamboo straws, bamboo utensils, bamboo nursing pants, a bamboo steamer, a bamboo cutting board. I cannot find bamboo to eat.
Bamboo shoots, okay? Go into, like, Amazon grocery or whatever that is. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Vacuum packed.
Jeez, oh, man.
What the hell is this? Oh, my God! Look, it's like in a tuna can.
I told you! What do you think?
It's expensive.
What are they? Oh, yeah, well... You're getting a case.
A pack of 12.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're getting a case. They're not usually that expensive.
Free Irene.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, your takeaway from this segment, folks, is that
you can eat bamboo. And it comes in a tuna can. That's what I took away from this entire segment.
I think we've served Phoenix well today.
This has been a pretty amazing week for me. Question for you, Pamela. How old were you when you learned that the game TAG stands for touch and go? Because I was today years old, okay? I did not know that TAG stood for touch and go. You were today years old as well.
I did not know that.
And I just learned it last night.
Yeah.
61 years
old. Who knew?
Who knew? TAG stands for touch and go. Yeah. It's been a day of discovery.
Wow. You can eat bamboo shoots.
A whole new world. I'm not going to eat bamboo shoots. It's not
you can get garbage cans that you can talk to.
I'll use them underneath the fingernails to torture somebody and get what I need out of them. Up next, former CIA officer, a man with explicit knowledge about Russia. We're going to talk to him next.